Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, it sounds like there's victory in the camp tonight. Hallelujah. It's the sound of victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we've got the victory. Yes. We've got the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Just take over the place. We're called to take over. From the very beginning, God created man to take over this place, to rule and reign in life. We saw that back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, how God called man to subdue and to conquer and bring the earth into subjection, in subjection to him, in subjection to his word. That's what you and I are called to do. And of course, we see that followed up in the New Testament. Over there in Romans 8:37, he says that you are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Another translation says, we overwhelmingly conquer. We overwhelmingly conquer. That's what we do. We're just overwhelming. Overwhelming to the enemy. We're not overwhelmed, that means. We're the ones overwhelming. Overwhelming the problems of life. Overwhelming the enemies of life. We're the ones overwhelming them. I'm telling you, the devil's absolutely overwhelmed tonight. And he's getting worn out because of us. Amen. Because we're taking our place. We're not taking a back seat. We're not backing down and backing up. We're not just sitting around wondering what the devil's going to do next. I just wish you'd leave me alone. That's where a lot of folks are at, just wishing nothing would happen bad in their life, rather than rising up and making something bad happen in the devil's life. Somebody's making it hard on somebody. It might as well be you making it hard on the devil. Stop letting him be on the offense, making things hard for you. Just rise up and smack him with the word. And overwhelm him, glory be to God. So much of the church, and I said this last time, so much of the church world today are just sitting around prophesying for the devil. Sitting around prophesying the devil to say, well, the devil, he's just taking over of America. What's going to happen next in America? What kind of laws are they going to pass next? Next thing you know, prisons, Christians are going to be going to prison. Then they're going to stick the mark of the beast in us. My God, where are we going to run? Where are we going to hide? What are we going to do? Folks are just standing around waiting for the devil to make his next move. But bless God, you and I have been called to rise up and subdue and conquer and bring into subjection this land of ours. This is one nation under God. I got news for you. It's not one nation under the devil. It's not one nation under the Antichrist. We got to use our authority, praise God. It's tempting as I'm talking like this to go to the book of Revelation and talk about the angel coming down with the chain and binding the devil and casting him into the pit and locking him up for 1,000 years. How do you think that's going to happen? I'm going to tell you how exactly it's going to happen, because there's going to be a remnant of believers on the earth that are going to walk in such high authority that they're going to speak the word with such faith that the angels heed the voice of the word. And they're going to come and take a nice big chain and bind that devil. And they're going to do such damage to the devil's kingdom, it's going to shut him down. It's going to set him back 1,000 years. Believers are going to do that. Angels heed the voice of the word, the Bible says. And we're the ones that give voice to the word. So we're the ones in charge. I said, we're the ones in charge. Praise God. Like I said last time, we're going out. When we do go out of here, we'll go out of here in a blaze of glory. Amen. And you see that with the early church, the Apostle Paul and Peter and the whole bunch of them, man. I mean, sure, they went to prison. They experienced persecution and things like that. But they were rejoicing through the whole thing. Why? Because they weren't victims. They were in charge of their destiny, and they had chosen to suffer that way for Christ. They had chosen to run right into the heart of a battle, run right up to the heaviest persecutors, run right up to them, get right in their face and tell them, and say to them, whether it's right in the sight of God or man to listen to you more than God, you decide. But we can't but help speak the things we have seen and heard and declare the name of Jesus. We can't help but, and they got right in these guys' face. That's why they were severely threatened. It wasn't because they were sitting home hiding. Huh? The devils were hunting them down. No, they were hunting down the devils. They were hunting down the demon-possessed. Paul and Silas got thrown into prison for casting the devil out of a woman. Amen. Drove the devil out of the woman, got thrown in prison for it. They were rejoicing over it, praise God. See, because they chose that. They had chose to do that. They weren't just victims being plucked up by the enemy and being thrown in prison and thrown to the lions and thrown here and persecuted. You understand what I'm saying? They were in charge. So we're in charge. We choose our destination. We choose our destiny in Christ Jesus. We're following his plan for our life. We are more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says we are. And I know it's a nice, cute confession that a lot of folks have grown dull to, but you might as well just shake yourself and get the reality of it, that it is reality. If the Bible says that's who we are, then that's who we are. We are more than conquerors. And let me remind you of last time, quick review, 1 Timothy 1:18. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit, spoke to Timothy saying, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them," by the prophecies, "you may wage the good warfare." Go wage war. Take the word, the prophetic words that you've received, and wage a good warfare. We're to go wage war. And when we're waging it, it's good. I said, when we're waging it, if the devil's waging it and we're running and hiding and trying to defend ourselves, that's bad. That's bad warfare. And that's where a lot of folks are at. Oh, we're just under an attack. We're just under attack. And I said that one time to the Lord. I felt like we were under an attack, you know. I mean, the devil was harassing me. He was as real to me. He'd come into my room in the middle of the night. He was so real. It was as though I could see him standing there. And every night, night after night, I'd have to get up and try to pray. And I'd say, try to pray, because I had no utterance. Holy Spirit was still lying in bed, you know. Just like Jesus was lying in the bottom of the boat when the disciples were crying and whining. You know, Jesus, there was no alarm. Jesus wasn't afraid of nothing. Jesus wasn't worried. Jesus had it covered. When they were out there on the boat and that big storm came down on the lake, and the disciples thought that they were going to sink because the waves were coming into the boat, you know, and they went down there and they cried out, "Jesus, save us. Don't you care? We're going to perish." And Jesus was just sleeping. He would have slept through the whole thing. He already had his faith that they were going over to the other side. He wasn't worried about it. But they were all worried about it. You know, the Holy Spirit is to us today the same way Jesus was to his disciples back in that day. And I think a lot of times we've run to the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, help us." And he just lying in bed. I got up that night, you know. I'm crying out, man, my God, we're under attack, you know. I'm trying to pray. I had no utterance to pray whatsoever. I'm thinking, why don't I have any utterance to pray? It's like, Holy Spirit, where are you? See, he was still back in bed sleeping. Just like Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat when the disciples were trying to get his attention. Well, night after night, finally, one night, I said, "Lord, we're under an attack." And the Holy Spirit must have heard me. He came out, you know. He came out of the back bedroom, obviously. He came up there. I said, "Lord, we're under an attack. The whole church is under an attack. I can feel it." And he spoke right to me. He said, "Under my feet. Under my feet." And suddenly I remembered the word of God, where the Bible says the devil's under our feet. The devil's under our feet. And so I said, now wait a second. It feels like I'm under an attack. And I've heard it taught that we can be under an attack. But the Bible says the devil's under my feet. And I said, if the devil's under my feet, I can't be under his attack. Somebody's under somebody. And the Bible says it's that devil that's under you. You're not under his attack. He's under your attack. See, it's a good warfare. We're the attackers. We're the ones waging it. Praise God.
I said, devil, you're under my feet. And I turned around and went right to bed with the Holy Spirit. Praise God, jumped right back in bed, went to sleep, never had a problem again with those issues. Slept every night. Hallelujah. Under my feet. Praise God. That means we're on the aggressive. We're on the attack. We're waging the warfare. That's in 1 Timothy 1:18. Then in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Has Jesus signed you up? Have you been marvelously drafted? Praise God. So good to be drafted in the army of the Lord. We are his soldiers and we are engaged in warfare because we're the ones waging it. We're the ones waging it. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Wage war. Well, God's word is full of wise counsel, isn't it? Well, what's it going to help you do? It's going to help you to wage war. Wage war. Now, you know, the children of Israel, under the old covenant, they were called to be warriors. They were called to be soldiers. And that nation had become an army of people that had come out of Egyptian bondage. They had been slaves, but now here they were in the wilderness, and God was telling them to go in and possess the land that he had for them. He had a good land for them to inherit. It was their inheritance. Notice over here in Numbers chapter 33. It's important for us to understand this because the Old Testament, the children of Israel, and what God called them to do and achieve is a type of what you and I under the new covenant are to possess in Christ Jesus. They had a good land to possess as an inheritance. You and I have a good life that we're to possess as our inheritance. And we're talking about the life of God. In the Greek, it's zoe. It's eternal life. It's unceasing, absolute fullness of life. And we know that the old covenant is not as good as the new. For the Bible says that we have a better covenant today than what they had. Which would mean that we would have what they had and a whole lot more. A whole lot more. You see, now through Jesus Christ, through the new birth, you and I are able to prosper from the inside out. We're not just going to possess stuff, but we're going to possess life. And that more abundantly, as well as the stuff. The stuff comes with the life. The good land comes with the good life, the Zoe God kind of life. And so you and I have been called to possess this life. Someone says, I've been born again. I've already got this life. Well, are you enjoying everything, every aspect that life contains for you? How many people know there's a lot to the life of God? It's an abundant life. It's an overwhelming life. You and I are to be abounding in life, overflowing with life. So there's a lot to this life that you and I need to get a hold of. It's already ours, but we need to take it. We need to take possession of it. We need to be sure to receive it. And so as we look at the children of Israel, we can learn from them on how to possess this promised life by looking at how they inherited or possessed this promised land. All right? So notice here in Numbers chapter 20. Let's go there. Numbers 33 is good. Let's go to Numbers 33. And in verse 54, he says, "And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your father." So notice, this land was their inheritance. It was something that belonged to them. Notice chapter 34 of Numbers. Numbers 34, verse 1, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan to its boundaries." So again, he's telling them this is something that they were to inherit. Now come with me to Numbers 20. Numbers, the 20th chapter. Now, to inherit something means to receive or obtain what belongs to you as an heir. Now, they were the heirs of everything God promised Abraham, children of Israel. They were heirs of everything God promised Abraham. And he promised them that land. God had already given all that land to Abraham. Abraham had claimed it by faith. It was his. Legally, in the spirit, it belonged to him. It did not any longer belong to the devil or his kids. It belonged to Abraham. And now his children would inherit what their father Abraham had received from God by faith. God had promised it. Abraham believed it and received it. And now his children were going to go in and possess it. It was theirs. It legally belonged to them. The devil could not keep them out of it if they understood their inheritance, if they understood that it was theirs. And so, here in Numbers chapter 20, in verse 12, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Notice that. I have what? Given them. So God had given it to them. Now he was saying, you're not going to be able to go in. And there's a lot to say about that. Moses was a type of Jesus Christ. And so because he had disobeyed God and he played such an important role in God's types and shadows, God could not allow him to go in. Now we come down here to verse 24. "Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah." So again, I have given you this land. Chapter 27. Chapter 27, Numbers. Verse 12. "Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this mount, Abarim, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel." Now again, they're not in this land. They're not, that's not where they're currently dwelling. That's not where they're living. And yet look how God's talking. He said, I have given it to you. It's not like, hey, I'm going to give it to you. I've given it to you. So from God's angle, this is already done. I've already handed you the keys to the car. Go get in the car. Go ahead and turn it on and drive it. It's yours. I've given it to you. Look at that again, verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Arabarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Chapter 35. Chapter 3. Again, we're looking at a type and a shadow of what we have today, which is even a whole lot better, a whole lot more than what they had. And what they had was good. It was good. It was a good land. God had good things planned for them. Deuteronomy chapter 2. In verse 24, rise, take your journey, and cross over the river Arnon. How many of you know you and I are on a journey? I'm telling you, the Christian life is a journey. There's nothing boring about it. It's exciting. We're on a journey, man. We're just traveling through life, just taking possession of the things God has given to us. So he tells them, rise up, take your journey. Verse 24, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Now, I just read New Testament scriptures to you that told us that we need to wage a good warfare. Right? By wise counsel, we're to wage war, and that we're soldiers, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life, because we're engaged in warfare. So say, I'm a warrior. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's right. That's just a little children's song. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. It's not just some little hip-hop kid song. You really are. You are a soldier in God's army. And so here, he was telling the children of Israel to rise up, take their journey, and engage the enemy in battle. Engage him in battle. I love verse 25. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Now notice that he says, this day I'll begin to put the dread of you. Well, what day was that? That was the day that they were what? To now begin, back it up again to verse 24, the latter part, begin to possess it. Now get this, begin to possess it. Doesn't it say that? You might want to underline it. Begin to possess it. My margin says, take it over. Begin to take it over. Then the next verse says, this day I'll begin, there's that word begin again, to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations. So begin, today I'm going to put the dread and fear of you upon all your enemies, because today you're going to begin to take over. So in other words, when you take the steps of faith to take over, the moment you begin to possess your inheritance, that's when the enemy is going to begin to be terrified of you. Now, as long as you haven't begun to take anything, then no one fears you. The enemy will walk right over you. And that's why much of the church world is not feared by the world. I'm telling you, the fear and dread of you on the world is key to you having favor with the world. They fear you, so therefore they give you favor. They favor you. I remember we were wanting to, we're getting started on our first phase of our building construction there. And getting out on this land. We weren't out on this property yet. And, I was talking to the builder and things, and they were supposed to get back to me, and I had, you know, see, we had agreed we were going to talk in a day or two or something like that, and man, the whole week was going by. You know, I'm waiting around for this phone call. You know, I mean, my whole focus is on getting this thing built out here. So I contacted him and I say, hey, what's going on? You know, I haven't heard from you. He said, oh, yeah. He said, well, you know, I had this happen, and, you know, I blah, blah, blah. He said, I'll get right on and get back to you. Another almost a whole week went by. And that's a long time. And when you're waiting for something the next day that's real important to you, you know, and days are going by and the phone's not ringing, you're walking in every day thinking this is the day they're going to talk to me. We can move this thing forward. Nobody's talking to me. Well, you know, and I called again, you know, and I got this, you know, all this double talk three or four times that I had called. Finally, I went out into our sanctuary that time. And I realized these folks have no respect for me whatsoever. They're putting everybody ahead of me. They have absolutely no respect for me whatsoever. I went out there and I just took authority. And I said, let the fear and dread of me, I said, I fear you, Lord. And because I fear you, I thank you that the fear and dread of me is upon them right now. And I really went after it. Within that hour, the phone rang. Hey, Mr. Frazier, he was almost trembling. His voice was almost trembling. Mr. Frazier, you know, really sorry that we have not gotten back to you about this thing. And and we're on it right now. And we got it all taken care of. I didn't ask for favor. I said, let the fear and dread of me be upon them. And I got favor. And when you fear God, you can expect others to fear you. But if you're not moving forward by faith in what God told you to take possession of, then how much are we really fearing him? If we fear him, we're going to follow him. If we fear him, we're going to obey him. If we fear him, we're not going to fear the devil. We're not going to fear our circumstances. They'll try to intimidate you. You might even feel fear, but then you got to rise up and say, no, I fear God more than this. I fear God more than I fear failure. I fear God more than looking like a fool. So I'm moving forward. I'm moving into what God has called me to possess, what he has commanded me to take over. And when you rise up in the fear of God, faith fears God. When you rise up in the faith of God, the fear of God, and you begin to possess what God has given you as an inheritance in Christ Jesus, then man, the fear of you is going to be upon your enemies. He's going to put the fear and dread of you upon them. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? It's time for the devil to be afraid of us. How's that going to happen? Get aggressive. Get aggressive with the word. Get aggressive with God, and demons will be afraid of you too. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. I talked about last time, you know, the fear of preaching, and, you know, different people have different fears and things that intimidate them, and then they back off and they won't. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make that phone call. I'm not going to step out and do that thing. Well, you see, you're fearing for your life more than you fear God. You're fearing for yourself. You're fearing man. You're fearing your circumstances more than you fear God. We can't allow that. We're going to have to fear God more, and that's going to propel us through every other kind of fear that acts as a barrier to keep us out of what God's called us into. Fear is what the devil uses to govern, to rule, to control people's lives. That's why I love what he says in Isaiah. He says, you'll be far from oppression because you shall not fear. You'll be far from oppression. All the oppression of the enemy, you'll be far from it. Why? Because you don't fear him. And he uses fear to bind you. He uses fear to hold people back. He uses fear to make people miserable. People are miserable because of fear. Fear is at the root of their misery. Well, let's just fear God more than the fear of the devil. Whatever kind of fear he's throwing at us, man, I'm going to fear God more.
I said, I'm going to fear God more. And what's that going to do? That's going to cause me to rise up in faith and face that fear. Face that fear. Praise God. Time to face your fears, church. Face your fears. Let's not be a reactionary group of people, just reacting. Reacting to other people. Reacting to other people's comments. Just reacting. Let's respond to the word of God. Let's respond to what he's saying. Can you say amen? Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you. Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe him, nor obey his voice. So notice that God told him, now go up and possess this land that I've given you. But they didn't obey him. And that was considered rebellion in God's sight. It was rebellion, regardless of all the excuses. And I was afraid. We were like grasshoppers, and the circumstances weren't good, and everything just didn't look right, and that's why I didn't do it. No excuses. No excuses. Don't let anything be bigger. We don't have any excuse to put anything above God. There's no excuse. You can't put something above God. There's no, if he told you to take it, take it. And don't stop until you possess it. No rebellion here. Say no rebellion here. Then we come over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 3 he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. We could take that today for ourselves. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. We need to just take territory and say, man, bless God, I take this territory. Now, you can't just do something in the flesh and it be faith. No, we flow with the Holy Spirit. We got to have that inner witness on the inside. Everything we do, we do with God. But bless God, if you can get in faith about it and walk on it, you can have it. You can have it. He says, go ahead and take it. I'm giving the whole thing to you. You know, that's how God is. He said, whatsoever things, in the New Testament, he said, whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Did he say that? Do you believe that? He said, whatsoever things you desire. Notice what he says here. He says, wherever the sole of your feet go, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given you. Whatsoever, wheresoever. Same kind of language. Wheresoever your feet tread. Whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Hallelujah. That's the kind of liberty we have in God. That's the kind of life he wants us to have. It glorifies him to increase. It glorifies him to enlarge ourselves, to enlarge our territory. That glorifies him. Becoming isolated and withdrawn and fearful and discouraged, and that doesn't glorify God. That doesn't glorify anybody but the devil. So we need to stop glorifying the devil, if anybody's been doing that lately. Chapter 8. Man, we're possessed with possessing. Are you possessed with possessing tonight? We should be foaming at the mouth over this. I mean, just really having a fit. So let me say, I'm becoming possessed with possessing the promises of God. Hallelujah. That's exactly how we need to be. If you're possessed with possessing, you'll be passionate. The devil's very passionate, isn't he, when he gets a hold of somebody, huh? Possesses them. I mean, they just start freaking out. Lashing out.
foaming at the mouth, yelling, and having a big fit. Right? I think God's worthy of you and I having a freak out bout with the devil. Amen. Freak out for Jesus. Freak out for God. Faith will freak out on the devil. Faith will freak out on the devil. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. There's that fear. Don't be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Notice that. What does he say? Don't be dismayed. But he said, arise, go up. I've given it into your land hand. Rise, go up. I've given it to you. Praise God. It's already yours. It's already yours. Now let's come over to the New Testament with all that under us, under our belt. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 6. Say, I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Don't you ever let the devil tell you you're a loser. This just rose up in my spirit. You're a winner. That's coming up really strong right now. You're a winner. Don't let anybody or anything tell you you're a loser. You hear me? God says you're a winner. And so you will win in every battle in life because the Lord is with you. If the Lord is with you, you're a winner. Woo! Hallelujah! And the Lord is with us. Glory be to God. So we are winners. We are not losers. We cannot be defeated. We cannot be stopped. Nothing can stop us except ourselves. That's it. The only one that can stop you is you. You need to know that about you. You're the only one that can stop you. If you won't stop, God ain't going to stop. And the devil's going to have to retreat. He's going to have to stop. He's going to have to back off. If you don't back down, the devil will back down. Now, I want to remind you that even though God said, I've given you this land, and the fear and dread of you is upon all your enemies that are currently occupying that land, I want you to know those enemies, even though they were terrified of Israel, I mean, the fear and dread of Israel was upon them. Yet you know what? They still fought. They still fought Israel. They didn't run and hide. They didn't flee. Rather, they fortified themselves. They put up a stronger front to try to intimidate their enemy, which was Israel. They still hoped that Israel somehow would, maybe even in the middle of this battle, begin to doubt, begin to fear them, and begin to pull back so that they can overtake them. So, I mean, the enemies, these Canaanites, Perizzites, Amorites, and all these different ites that the Old Testament talks about, they're all types of demon powers, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They're a type of the demonic warfare that you and I are engaging in. We are in a battle, but it's spiritual. We're not fighting against flesh and blood like they were. They were fighting against flesh and blood people possessed of the devil. That's what they were fighting against. We're dealing with demons directly. And we can because we have authority over them in the name of Jesus. We could just deal with the demons directly now. Cut out the middleman. Cut out the flesh man. Go right to the root. Go right to the source. Go right to the devil. He's the problem.
Are you with me? So these Canaanites, parasites, all these different groups of people were types of demonic powers. And they were terrified of Israel. And so they would just gather more demons together. They would gather more people from other nations around to help them to come against Israel. And a lot of times they would be what looked like the aggressor. They knew Israel was coming, so they just went out there in front of them, try to get to them first. To what? Try to intimidate them. Try to cause them to back off. We're going to gather more people, more nations together. And they would join nations with one another. I mean, huge armies of people. And the children of Israel would look out there, and there were times, I mean, they were so totally outnumbered. It was impossible from the natural for them to be able to beat these armies. And these armies, even though they outnumbered Israel, they were terrified of them. Because God had put the terror on them, had put the dread and fear of Israel on these people. But they still attacked. And that's what you need to understand. The devil is going to act like he's not afraid. I remember I was in a spiritual battle for somebody else's life and was praying and believing God. One night I had a dream. And man, I saw the devil. But he didn't look like the devil. He looked like this really overconfident, cocky, arrogant person. And he was walking by like this, looking at me like he's totally in control. Just sneering at me, walking by. And I woke up and I knew immediately what it all meant. I mean, I knew it was the devil. And he was trying to put forth this front like he's totally in control. Like he's the top dog. But you see, I have inside information that causes me able to see into the very heart of this creature of darkness. And I understand that he is terrified of me. And that's what I look like to him. See, now he's going to try to tell you it's the other way around, but you got to go by the word of God and what the word of God says. And the word of God says these demons are terrified of you and I. Terrified of us. We're not going to be afraid of them. I said, we're not going to be afraid of them. And therefore, we can arise. We can come out from underneath the blankets. Turn the lights on. Say, here I am. Just like Isaiah, you know, after he saw the Lord. Once he got a vision of the Lord, and the Lord said, now there's a people out there, they're going to reject you, they'll persecute you, they'll even kill you. Now who'll go for me? Who'll go to these people for me and preach my word to them? They're not going to listen to you. They're going to reject you. But who'll go for me? And Isaiah rises up and says, here I am. Send me. Where did he get that kind of confidence? He's standing in the presence of the king. He's standing there, he's thinking, if you're going with me, if I'm representing you, if I got you backing me up, let's go. God was so real to him in that moment, he wasn't afraid to turn the light on and say, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Praise God. See, the more we're aware of him, that he is with us, we'll fear no evil. He said, you won't fear any evil. Why? For thou art with me. When you're aware that the King of glory is with you, that God is for you, you'll understand. Then who can be against me? What can man do to me? What can the devil do to me? Now, again, he'll try. Again, the devil's going to try. He's going to, and he'll fight you. He'll resist you. But don't let that stop you. Don't let that trick you. That's why he says, fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes there's symptoms, and I'm not just talking about physical health symptoms. There's all kinds of symptoms in life that the devil brings. And you use your authority. And man, you believe, and you're looking, you're thinking, now why isn't it gone yet? It's been a few hours.
Why is it still putting pressure on me? Why is this thing still coming down on me? Why am I still getting harassed? 2 days later, you're getting another phone call. 2 days later, you know, something else, how you're seeing this, you're feeling this. You're thinking, what's the deal with this? And you got to come back to, you know, even Daniel. He set his face to pray, and it wasn't for 21 days before he saw his answer. He saw his answer. The enemy was trying to slow the answer from getting to him, trying to get him to think it ain't coming, God ain't listening to you, just get off this thing. But instead of that, Daniel just dug deeper into it. He just dug deeper into it, and he just made the decision that he was just going to go ahead and fast. I'm just not going to eat any pleasant food. I'm just going to give myself fully to this thing until I see it. He just stuck in there, stayed there, and he would not back down. And as a result of that, his answer got to him. I'm telling you, the enemy is in the intimidating business. Fear is what his kingdom operates by. If you don't fear, he cannot hold you back. He cannot oppress you. He cannot stop you. Come on. You just don't fear. You fight the good fight of faith. What that means, you just keep believing. You keep fighting the doubt. You fight what you see by what God says. No, God said this. This is the way it is. I'm walking in the will of God. I'm doing the word of God. And I know the enemy is afraid of me. I know he's under my feet. I know I got the victory. I know I'm the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. I know I got this thing. And that's the way it is in the name of Jesus. And you just keep pressing. You keep pressing, and you might have to do some things to continue to just feed your faith during that time of intense resisting of the devil. Devil resisting you, trying to keep you out of what you're breaking into. But you just keep pressing. You just keep pressing. You keep pressing. Do what you need to do. You might need to just dig in a little deeper into the word and spend a little extra time meditating on God, do a little fasting, whatever you got to do, and just keep pressing. Just keep pressing. Just keep pressing. Praise God, because you know, glory be to God. The only thing that can come of this is a breakthrough. The only thing that can come of this is a breakthrough. There's got to be a breakthrough. I'm not backing down. I'm not quitting. I know what God has said. I'm not intimidated. It shall certainly be as God said it would be for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Somebody say, I'm possessed. We're possessing. Let's rise up and possess the land. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah! Come on, stand on your feet with me tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.